Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Hey, guys, doing? Knows, and you tune in to the first word, just like let everybody know.
Hope everybody's having a great morning. We're going to start the morning off right as usual, getting into this word. All right, I'm going to start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for getting us all back again on the line to another Sunday, getting us through the week. I know the week's probably been hard for people. I know it's been hard for me, but thank you for getting us through it. I pray that we all get something out of the word today to keep us going throughout the week and throughout today, and that you might move in us. And in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. All right, Brother Jamal, you're on the line.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to say good morning to everybody. This is the first word, and how we like to do on the first word each and every Sunday is whatever day it falls on, whatever the date is that it falls on, we like to study. So being though today is the 28th, we will be studying Proverbs 28. We'll start with verse 1. It says, "The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." This speaks out to me because, you know, it's telling us, I feel like this verse is telling us that even when the evildoers flee, no one cares, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I believe that when we already know that we have won the war, or we already on the winning side of Christ, that we've already won. So we have a reason to be bold. We have a reason to be happy. We have a reason to poke our chest out, because at the end of the day, we've already won. Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins, and rose on the third day. So knowing that, we've already won the game. So that's what that verse says to me. Can any more other men chime in on the situation?
Well, what I think that means is that, you know, like Bible says, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. So we should definitely stand on what we know and definitely be bold as a lion when things come our way. We got a couple of other people on the line. We got 7348 on the line. Mr. J. No? All right, then. must be listening. What's the other verse caught your eye, Brother Jamal?
All right, well, we're going to continue to go on. We're going to go to verse number two. It says, when a country is rebellious, it had many rulers. But a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order. I believe that this scripture is talking about, even though, you know, it's a lot of people in certain situations that like to call the shots. They really don't want to. They don't want to abide by the rules. And it says that, but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order, because a ruler with discernment understands the situation that's going on, and the person with knowledge, it said, maintains order, because, you know, sometimes you don't always have to yell at somebody to get them to do what you want. Sometimes you don't always have to take the aggressive, violent approach, and sometimes you do. So when God gives you that spirit of discernment to decide on what to do, it says that but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order, because this person knows what to do. This person just knows that you can't always rule with an iron fist. So with that being said, the ruler that knows what's going on and can discern and he has knowledge, it says it maintains order, because that ruler knows what's best for his people. That ruler understands that the circumstances that come about and knows how to approach the situation. Think about that, Brother Anthony.
Well, I think in that situation right there, like you're saying, when kings were good kings, they rule forever and they rule a really long time. One person I'm reminded of is King David, who ruled for so long, you know, that God blessed him and everything. And when they had good kings in power at the time, they had the blessing of God, and they ruled forever as long as they abided by his rules. It's like in today's terms, like, you know, you have a good boss, you know, you have good people that become successful and CEOs and stuff. They understand where to come from, and also they understand everything that's going on, because if you started from the bottom, you know what I'm saying, you know, you understand what the smaller person's thinking, like, so you understand everything that's going on. You understand, you know, people have families, so you can't be working them, you know, the 80-hour shifts a week or something. 60-hour shifts is just crazy. It doesn't make sense. But people like that wind up going good places and going, like, you know, lasting a while, because they understand and they know their people.
Amen. And that example that you use, it's a TV show. I think it's called Working Boss or something of that nature. And the show, it's the CEOs of the head countries, you know, Waste Management, McDonald's, whatever the case may be. And what he does is he dresses up as if he is a first-time employee. And he's looking at the situations, and he's looking at the way his store is being ran firsthand, the people, how the service is, how the employees are being treated. And at the end of this show, it's called Undercover Boss. And at the end of this show, what he does is he takes the people that he feels like, you know, is working the hardest but being overlooked and going out of their way and are underpaid. He makes sure that at the end of that show that he gives them something good. He gives them a wealthy amount, because he has sat there and seen firsthand, just like you said, Brother Anthony, how the struggle was. And a lot of people, you know, they forget about the struggle because they just forget about being down. Some people, they get it and they don't care about the rest. Pastor Kayson said it best on the Bible study line. He says people don't care. So when we look at that and we see that, we have to be able to understand where everybody is coming from, and understand that we've all been down once before. We've all been in the place where, you know, we wasn't right with God. We always at a place where God had to come find us in our mess. So let's not forget about when God has found us in our mess. So the next time that we stumble upon somebody that's going through a situation that just can't get it right, that just can't seem to do right, we have to remember to pray for them. And we cannot forget just because God has elevated us of where we came from. What you think about that, Brother Anthony?
I think you're right on track. You just took what I said to a whole nother level, you know, took it deeper. For the same exact way, you know, people on my job, you know, my boss or my supervisor over me, he's like, you know, I've been where you are, you can be where I am, you know, work together and train them to be, you know, train everybody to be greater. I feel like we can say that about this, you know, when we talk to the older people and, you know, we look for wisdom, and that's what Proverbs is for. When you look at wisdom and you get it, it helps everybody else build on top of what they already know. So, in turn, everybody, you know, gets to eat. Everybody understands. You know, everybody gets a little bit of wisdom from everything.
Amen. So, we're gonna keep on moving along. We're going to go to verse number three says, a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain that leaves no crops. This verse speaks to me because what God is saying in this scripture is that the ones who are in power but treat the poor some type of way and make them feel unwanted and make them feel like they're the scum of the earth and make them feel like they don't matter. God says this is like a driving rain that leaves no crops. And we all know that when you're planting a field full of crops, when the rain comes heavy, it should be a production of crops. And when God is telling you that, you know, if you do this to the poor, if you make these people feel this way, if you oppress the poor, it's like a driving rain that leaves no crops. So in other words, that you just got a lot of water on your hands. You don't have the fruit that's supposed to come from the process of gardening, but it's just a lot of rain, it's a lot of water, it's a lot of unnecessary things around you. What you think about that, Brother Henry?
I think you're on the right track. Another way that I thought about it was that when people are oppressing, you know, and people are holding other people down and doing bad things, God doesn't bless that. So in turn, when you go get your crops, his crop's not going to be prosperous, you know. So God isn't going to bless the one that's doing the wrong, doing the evil, you know, towards other men. I feel like sometimes in certain situations, people miss their blessing because, you know, they're being hard on somebody else, or missing out on certain things because God hasn't blessed them yet because of something that they're doing. That's what I think about it when we talk about, like, crops and stuff, you know, reaping what you sow.
Amen. That's very powerful. Barry, you like you said, you hit it right on the nail, man. So we're going to keep on going forth. It says, verse 4 says, those who forsake instruction pray to the wicked, but those who heed it resist them. Oftentimes in our lives, we look back over our lives and certain things that we've been through, and actually when we're going through the situation, it might occur after, but after the situation is over or during the situation, we're reminded of what our parents have said to us, and it takes us to a place where we are reminded of what our father and our mother has taught us. And when we get into these situations where they said it was going to happen and we don't take heed to them, this the things that we will run into a wall of destruction. But if we take heed to the instructions that are given, we will be all right. That's just like once again, in the Bible study, it was a young man, and he talked about, you know, his parents. And when he didn't do what his parents did or told him to do, then there were consequences behind it. Really, you know, when I was younger, you know, when I didn't do what my parents told me to do, yes, there were consequences behind it. But when I took heed to the instructions, I resisted the actions that my parents said don't do, so I didn't have to go through the pain of the butt whooping. So this speaks a whole lot, because it's saying that if you don't take heed to what I'm saying, then that's when your life is going to go to destruction. When you praise the wicked, but those who heed to it resist them. And when you resist them, it makes your life a whole lot easier. It's some things in our life that we put on ourselves. As soon as we start to go through, we start to say, oh, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. Well, some things that we put ourselves through, and then we're looking around like, why are we going through this situation? What you think about that, Brother Anthony?
Thank you. Yeah, you're exactly right. Reminded of a conversation that me and you had earlier this week when you were talking about how, you know, certain discipline is necessary, and when people don't have that, you know, thing to look back on and be like, oh, this is wrong. You know, when certain people don't have that connection, you can definitely tell because of the way they act, things, certain things that they do. They don't have, you know, something to be like, oh, in the back of their mind, oh, if I do this, it's going to be wrong. I shouldn't do this. Certain things people don't have remorse for, and that's why, you know, in the world we live in, it's kind of dangerous, because there are certain people out here like that don't have no recollection, no sense of feeling at all. And when they do stuff, they don't care. And after, other people wind up getting hurt. And when people stop caring, that's what happens.
Amen, amen. Verse 5, it says, evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. This verse speaks out to me because on a couple of first words ago, we were talking about the fear of the Lord. And it says when you have the fear of the Lord, that's having the understanding. And so when we're understanding, first of all, when we have the fear of the Lord, see, evildoers, they do not understand what is right because they don't have the fear of the Lord. They do what else? They do whatever they want to do. It's their rules on their time when they feel like they want to do it. So. But when we seek the Lord, see, when we sit back and say, Lord, I give it all to you. I just want to be full of you. I don't want this nonsense, this drama no more in my life. But Lord, I want to be full of you. That is when we will walk into our blessings fully. That is when we'll stop getting through situations. We'll stop struggling so hard when we decide to give it all up. When we decide to not worry about what the other people are going to think. When we decide that, God, for you I'll live and for you I'll die. That's when we will walk into the fullness thereof. That's why the scripture says, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully, because when you're seeking the Lord, you're going through a little bit. When you're seeking the Lord, there's nobody else that can help you but him. When you're seeking the Lord, you become more stronger, you become more mature, you become more wise, you become more stronger. And so when we begin to seek the Lord, we have to seek him first. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. So until we start to seek the Lord, we will not understand what he has for us. What you think about that, Brother Adam?
I think you're right on. A thing that I'm reminded of is, you know, a couple of while back when we started talking about how, you know, when you see God, you start reading the word, you know, like your brother or sister. I feel like if we do that, like you were saying, you start receiving more, and, you know, you start getting blessed, and you start learning and getting understanding. So instead of, you know, just going to him like we usually do when we're in trouble, when we down, when we hurt, when we looking for him, when we need him, you know, praise him praise him after, praise him all the time. So when you get in those situations, you know what to do. You're already prepared for it. You already know what's going on. And if he got you through it before, he'll get you through it again. So there's no surprise in it at all. Just like you were saying, you know, the blessings will come after you get in line with God.
Amen, amen. Verse number seven says, the discerning son heeds instructions, but a companion of gluttons disgraces their father. What you think that means to you, Brother Anthony?
That's a good one right there. Oh, yeah. Can you repeat that one more time?
It says, a discerning son heeds instruction, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father.
I think it's talking about in the company that you keep, certain people in this day and age, you know, that we live in, you can have good friends, you can have good companions, you know. Your man, you go hang out, and after you have that certain group of people that bring other people down, you know that your parents, in my situation, certain parents would be like, why are you hanging out with them? You know they bad. You know they not good for anything, nah, 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 nah. You know, but you don't listen. You want to do what you want to do. And it brings down you. And there's been certain situations where people in power or even, like, you know, regular people have hung out with the wrong crowd and wound up taking a turn for the worse, and they didn't have anything to do with it. But you were still around them, so you got to be careful with the company that you keep. And as far as that goes with your father, I mean, like, you disappointed your parents, disappointing God, really, before your parents. It's a thing of, you know, having reverence and respect and remembering what's going on the house side, besides you. I was watching a show this week, and basically a senator basically messed up his whole relationship with his family and everything because he wanted to win an election or whatever. And he was in bad company, and he was dealing with certain people that would help him win. But in the long run, you know, they was hurting him. And, you know, if you don't do this, then you're not going to get this. And, you know, blackmailing them and stuff. And you just got to be careful with certain people that you deal with and you keep with your company.
Amen, amen. Oftentimes our parents, even before we get to see the friends that doesn't have the best interest for us, oftentimes our parents are the first ones to say that this person is no good. Our parents are the first one to say that this person does not have your best interest at heart. And it's funny and it's very key that you say it. It's about the company that you keep. Oftentimes our parents tell us what type of friends that we should have. And on another note, our Heavenly Father, he doesn't want us to be hanging around people that that don't believe the same thing that we believe, that are God mockers, that are you know, the ones that just don't believe, have everything negative to say. God wants us to have good company. God wants us to have the people that are after Him. God wants us to have the people that makes us better, that makes us search for Him, that makes us be diligent in His kingdom. These are the people that God wants us to be around. God does not want us to be around the people that's always negative, never has nothing good to say, and never has an encouraging word to give to somebody. God wants us to be surrounded by the people that love Him. He wants us to be surrounded by the people that are on the same path that we are. He wants us to be on the same path with the people that will build us up, not just tear us down, not just give us bad news, but also give us good news, also give us praise reports, also give us encouraging word. So God does not want us to be around, when it talks about the Father, and I think it speaks in more of the Heavenly Father, that He does not want us to be with people that can bring us down. But He wants us to be with people that could come together and exalt His name. This verse is very, very, very insightful, because He's telling us to watch the people. Brother Anthony just broke it down and said, watch the company that you keep. You wonder why you always broke? You hang around broke people. You know why you always sad? Because you hang around sad people. You know why you're always depressed? It's because you're hanging around depressed people. We must get around the same people that have the love of God in their hearts like we do, that have the compassion of God. I was talking to a wise man, and when he told me, he said, a lot of people don't have the love of Christ and the compassion of Christ in their heart like they say they do. Because the love of God and the compassion of Christ if we so-called say we do have, we would love the people that's unlovable. We will forgive the people that's not even sorry. Huh? It's easy to forgive somebody, or it's easy to say sorry or forgive somebody that's sorry, but God wants us to forgive the people that are not sorry. He wants us to help the people that don't want the help. That's the people that he wants us to help. That's the people he wants us to go after. So this verse is very insightful, and it could be taken in many ways, because God, he just wants this for us. He's the great parent. So he's telling us, you know, just like our parents, they tell us, don't be hanging around that boy. Don't be hanging with that girl. She nothing but trouble. God is our heavenly Father. He knows that if you hang around these negative people, guess what? You're going to be negative. You ain't going to be able to help it. The things that are in our atmosphere, the things that we watch on TV, the things that we allow in our spirits, we have to make sure what we are allowing in our spirits is of good company. We have to make sure that the people around us are down what we are down for, which is Christ. This verse is a great great verse, because it shows us how or what type of company that we should keep. It says that if you keep the company of gluttons, you're disgracing your father. God doesn't want us hanging around that. God doesn't want us to be around that. We're his children. So there's some things and certain places that we can't go, because it's nothing but trouble. God wants us to keep the company that we're going to be able to get together, read the Bible, get together, and through our problems, we'll be able to talk about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us. Brother Anthony?
I feel like you're right on point. One thing that I was thinking about is, like, one person that I was talking to a while ago, I think it was, like, last year sometime, he told me that, you know, certain things that you do, you should definitely think about them before. But he was like, don't think about it in a way that normal people think about it. Think about it as, would you be okay if your grandmother was sitting there with you doing? Would you be okay with your mother sitting right there with you doing? Would you be okay if God was sitting next to you, really? And you doing that, you got to think about it like that, you know. And it really would stop you from doing some things that, you know, we do. And it will make you think and be like, I know my grandmother not going to accept that. You know, I know that's not right for God, you know, being that he is a higher power, but, you know, that's not right for my grandmother to do it. You know, my mother's sitting right here, why am I treating this girl like this? You know, it's not acceptable. And when you think about it like that, you know, it catches you, and you most definitely will take a second thought before you do it.
Amen. And I like that you said that, because I remember Kirk Franklin, he was talking about a woman, and he was talking about how men treat the women. And what he was saying was, well, if a woman was a child of God, his point was men treat females differently in front of their father. And so God that we know is our father, he's always present. It's a certain way that we should treat the children of God, the women of God. See, the women of God, you have to, first of all, you have to pray for her. Second of all, you have to understand what you're dealing with. You're not dealing with shorty from around the corner, but what you're dealing with is a woman of God. So you take that in consideration, and you don't carry it the normal way that you would. But it looks like that we have ran all out of time today. I'd like to thank everybody that was on the line today. And Brother Anthony, do you have any last words?
No, I think we said pretty much everything. We'll close this out.
This is a great proverb today, so we're going to look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for all that you've done for us, all that you're going to do, and all that you have done. Father God, we just want to say, Father God, please be with us in our services today, Father God. Please be with the pastor, Father God. Please be with our First Lady, Father God. Please bless them, Father God. Build them up with their week, Father God. And, Father God, please bless everybody on the line, Father God. Keep them, help them to remain steadfast and unmovable. always bound in the work of you, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
That will do it all for next week. Minister Jamal, this is the first word. Me out.
All right, this is your host, Anthony Kason Jr. from Heart of God. How are we going to get out of here? Everybody have a blessed week.